Amen. Amen. Good evening. Good evening. Glad to see y'all here tonight. Hope everybody had a good afternoon. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's go ahead and stand here this evening. We're going to turn to 566. 566 in your hymnals. It is no secret. It is no secret. We'll sing this two times.
It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Amen. Amen. Now we'll turn to 650. 650 in your hymnals. Redeemed. 650, and we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
Amen. Please remain standing for prayer.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be in Your house once again. And Lord, I thank You for that wonderful hymn we've just sung, Redeemed, Redeemed by the Precious Blood of the Lamb. Lord, we're so thankful as we've trusted in Jesus Christ that certainly we are redeemed people. And I pray, Lord, that this night that You'd be a help to us as Your word is opened up. Lord, as we continue to sing these wonderful hymns and then as we give of our tithes and offerings, I pray that it would be a blessing, Lord, and would be pleasing to You in all that we do. Father, would You be a help to us this night? Lord, we thank You for the message this morning. But Father, I pray for wisdom and direction this night from You. And Lord, we just thank You. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. As for announcements today, the Valentine's Banquet will be on the 14th at 5 p.m. Valentine's Bank will be on the 14th at 5 p.m. I have another note here. Please let Miss Jennifer know if your children are coming to the Valentine's banquet. So you got any kids, come and make sure Miss Jennifer knows about that. Deacon's meeting, y'all just had that. Annual business meeting will be February the 11th. That's on a Wednesday. February the 11th will be the annual business meeting. And then the Women of the Word ladies meeting will be at the pastor's house on March 7th. That's 1 through 3. There's a sign-up sheet, right? There's a sign-up sheet for that. So if you're going to that, sign up for it there in the back. Amen. All right, so we're going to sing another song here. Let's go ahead and stand again. Let's stand again one more time tonight. We're going to turn to 596 in your hymnals, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. We're going to sing all three verses.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Amen. Brother Roland, if you would please pray for the offering.
Lord, we thank you again for being in the house, Father.
Yes.
Loving time to come back together and gather around you and the word, Lord, worship thee in truth and spirit. I pray you bless Brother Brandon, may you invite, Lord, and fill him with your spirit. And preach and teach the word. We just yearn to hear it again and grow in your grace and be what you'd have us to be, Lord, in this community, in my life, in my home, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. God, direct there. Bless the dear children for this week, Lord. Bless us all and look forward again this week in your grace and faith and trust in thee. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Jonah, chapter number 1. We're in this study in the book of Jonah, and if you'll turn there to Jonah, chapter number 1, I pray that this study in the book of Jonah has been a blessing to you. I pray that you've taken some time and reading through this small book several times. It's a very short read, but I believe there's a whole lot that you and I can learn here in the book of Jonah. We are at this point where Jonah has made his choice to depart from the Lord, and providence seemed, at least in part, to be on Jonah's favor, but shortly Jonah is going to discover differently. The Lord in loving kindness reaches out to Jonah, causing a tempest in the sea. And as we continue through chapter 1, we're given the reaction of all the parties involved with this tempest that God causes in the sea. And here's the question I have for you tonight as we consider the scriptures. In the midst of the storm, what do you do? What do you do in the midst of the storms of life? And I think we can learn some lessons here. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Jonah chapter number 1, verses 3 through 12. We'll read here and then have a word of prayer and be seated. The Bible says in verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Notice verse number 4, "But the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his own God, unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, what hast thou done? Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm to us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Notice verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we think about this simple truth tonight, about the reaction of all the parties involved to the tempest that you caused. Lord, help us to examine our lives. Lord, really, truly discern, what do we do in the midst of the storm? How is it that we react? And Father, I pray, as we even heard this morning, that we will be faithful Christians. Father, let us be found as the ones that are bending the knee. Let us be found as the ones that are praying unto you. Let us be the ones that are seeking thy face. Lord, I pray this night that we would be found in that way. Lord, help us to guide others, perhaps in the midst of a storm. Father, help us to point them to the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray, Lord, at the end of this, it would be challenged by thy word. I also pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, oh, Father, they'd repent of their sin and by faith trust in him and in him alone. Lord, understanding that you love us so much, Father, I pray that might be the case this night. Lord, would you be a help to us? We ask all these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated. You see here in our general outline under the heading of the prophet rose up to flee, verse number 4, the mighty tempest, and verse number 5, the mariner's fear. Notice with me in verse number 5 what's said here in the text. It says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. We see the first response of the group of fellows involved in this tempest is recorded here for us in the response of the mariners. What was the response of the mariners in the midst of the tempest, in the midst of the storm? Well, the Bible tells us here, number one, if you're taking notes, that they were afraid. They were afraid. Now, this tells us certainly something about this storm. This was no light storm. You know, the assumption is that these were men of the sea. They were mariners. And if they were afraid indeed, there was certainly trouble. I imagine this, if these sailors were Phoenicians, Phoenicians were world-renowned seamen, and the storm must have been terrible indeed. The Phoenicians were legendary for their seamanship and their navigating skills. You know, fear very often in the Bible is put in direct opposition to faith as it concerns the Christian. In fact, we're not speaking of the reverential fear of God like we spoke about this morning, but rather a fear that is devoid of faith in God. Fear itself is an emotion, and it manifests itself rightfully in a response to danger. Hold your finger there and turn with me over to the book of Mark in chapter number 4 so I can show you how this is in the scriptures, this matter of fear. In Mark chapter number 4, we find a very similar incident, do we not, in this chapter. In Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse number 35, the Bible tells us about another storm, and it tells us about a group of fellows that are on a ship and the difficulty that they ran into. Notice in Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35, the Bible says, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, now the he is Jesus, he saith unto the disciples, what does he tell them? Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Notice in verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he, this is Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And guess what happens? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now, notice the question that the Lord puts to the disciples. He looks to them and he said unto them, notice what he says, why are ye so fearful? Then notice a follow-up question to that. How is it that you have no faith? Now, in this account, we notice this, that the Lord Jesus is with his disciples. That's made perfectly clear. Here he is. He's in the boat with them. In fact, he's the one that told them to go unto the other side. And so they garner into the ship. They head in that direction. He goes and falls asleep in the midst of the ship, and this storm arises of wind, so much so that this ship seems like it's about to go under. And so the Bible explicitly tells us of the Lord's presence in the ship there in verse number 38. And even though he is down below and asleep on a pillow, they have, notice, the Lord of glory with them. Verse 39 tells us that God has power over all things, Jesus. He has power over all things. And specifically, we see this, that the Lord demonstrates his power over the wind and over the storm by saying, "Peace, be still." And then we find not only the Lord's presence, but now we see the Lord's probing question after he calms this storm. Notice what the probing question is towards those that have Jesus with them. By the way, Christian, don't you understand? We have Jesus with us. Is Christ in you the hope of glory? And so the Lord asks the disciples this question as he is with them. He says, why are you so fearful? And then he follows that up and he says, how is it that ye have no faith? Now, first you might think about these probing questions and think, boy, Jesus is just being a little hard on them, don't you think? I mean, they're in the midst of a storm. The ship is like to be broken up. They're about to go under. And he says, why don't you have any faith? Why are you so fearful? You might say it this way, and it's a question, by the way, you ought to ask yourselves in the midst of the storm. Why am I really having fear at this moment? We need to ask ourselves the question in the midst of the storm and the difficulties of life, why am I really afraid at this moment? The answer is given to us by the Lord in respect to the second question, which really is a rhetorical question that he's not meaning really for them to answer because it's a fast answer. He says, how is it that you have no faith? In other words, what he's saying is you're lacking faith right now. This is what the Lord is saying to his disciples. And in order to understand this probing question about this particular instance, it would help us to understand what's already taken place in the life of the Lord and the disciples up to this point. Let me run you past the chapters for just a moment. The Lord has cast out a demon in the presence of the disciples in Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. The Lord had healed Simon Peter's wife's mother in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 30. She was sick and ill. The Lord has already healed her. According to Mark 1 and verse number 32, many that had diseases and were possessed of devils, the Lord healed them and cast out the devils. In Mark chapter 1 and verse number 40, the Lord has demonstrated his power over the leper and has healed a leper. In Mark chapter 2 and verse number 3, we read of the paralytic man born by four, whom the Lord Jesus healed him as well. In Mark chapter 2 and verse number 6 and 7, the Bible tells us that he demonstrated Jesus, that he knew the thoughts of man without them even speaking it out loud. This, by the way, is in the presence of the disciples. The Lord knew the internal thoughts of men. In Mark chapter 3, the Lord healed a man with a withered hand. In Mark 3:10, we're told again that the Lord healed many of sickness and disease and those that had plagues. And so the question that we find in verse 40 of this text, how is it that you have no faith? Is in reference to thinking about all that God has done in the midst of them over the past several chapters leading up to this. In other words, this is not some isolated event in the life of the disciples. They had seen much by the Lord of glory already. And by the way, can I say, Christian, in our lives, that we've seen God work in miraculous and mighty ways in our own lives? And perhaps the question that comes to us in the midst of the storm is, why is it that you are so fearful? And the follow-up question is, how is it that you have no faith? You see, we cannot blame these mariners for their reaction. But I'm here to tell you that there should be a growth in our faith towards God as we continue down this journey of life that God has given to us. We should be farther along the road of faith where we're at presently than where we were at months ago or even years ago. And so as you and I look at this, we can't certainly blame the mariners for the reaction. You can go back to Jonah, the book of Jonah there. But understand here as we think about this, that sometimes you and I wrongly assume that those who are lost will act in a right way towards God. Now, perhaps you've never been there before, but I've caught myself many of times looking at the heathen, looking at the mariners and asking the question, why are they acting like lost people? Can I give you the answer? Because they don't know God. They're just doing what naturally comes to them. In fact, we could say it this way. These mariners in the book of Jonah, being heathen men, had every right and every reason to be fearful. You see, they reacted as only they could. But for the Christian, we have different choices before us, don't we? You and I, as a Christian, should be different than the world around us. Our reactions to the circumstances of life, to the storms of life, to the difficulties of life, ought to be different than the rest of the lost world around us. Why is that? Our perspective on the events of this world ought to be a little bit different, shouldn't they? We're reminded of two cardinal truths. You might write them down for the Christian. That'd be a help to you in the midst of the storm. The first cardinal truth is this: the Lord Jesus Christ holds us in his hand. John 10, 27 through 29, the Bible says, my sheep, that you and I hope it's you, if you trusted in Jesus as your personal Savior, you're his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and get this, he says, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now listen, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he says this, as if that weren't good enough. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, in the midst of the storm, you know what is comforting to the believer. Those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, in the midst of the difficulty, even if it's chastisement, is to understand this, that listen, I am in Jesus' hand. And friends, I'm telling you, that will make a world of difference between your reaction and, let's say, the lost person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. Number two, the second cardinal truth is this, that the Lord Jesus is working in our lives to bring about good. The Lord Jesus is working in our lives to bring about good. See, you and I are being conformed or pressed into the image of Christ. And likewise, our perspective of such difficulties is different because of our God's sovereignty and his ultimate end for us as a child of God. See, we might not understand all the whys behind what's going on, but this one thing we do know, and God works all things together for good to them that know him and who are the called according to his purpose. We know that it's God working all things together for good to them that love him, right? And we have this understanding that God is conforming us to the image of his dear son. We might even say that we're being transformed, because I believe that's what's spoken about in Romans chapter 12. If Jonah were to be asked in the beginning moments of this tempest, if we were to interview him and say, Jonah, what do you think about this tempest? Is this a good thing? What do you think? He'd probably answer, no, this is no good at all. I think this, in this moment, that Jonah couldn't see the forest for the trees, as we might say. And likewise, you and I often are that way, are we not, in the midst of the storm? But in hindsight, what we see is we see the precious hand of God at work in our lives. And so the Word of God tells us that the chastening of God is for our good and yields the fruit of righteousness when we are exercised thereby. Now, I'm here to tell you there's a great many Christians that go through trials of affliction, but they're never exercised properly in that trial of affliction. And sometimes it is, as you're sitting back, maybe as an outside observer, you might think this, why are they going through this same thing over and over again? Perhaps it is that God is doing a conforming work in their lives and they're not getting it the first time, or they're not getting it the second time, and God allows them to go through another difficulty, perhaps to shake them up or to rattle them up or to get them headed in a particular direction. Hebrews 12:11 says this, "Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous." Now I think about the many times that my dad took me, and he had a big bread paddle. When I did wrong in my life, listen, that chastening did not seem to be joyous in the present, but guess what? There was a purpose behind it. And the Bible says, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness. Now listen, unto them which are exercised thereby. You know, if these mariners were to be asked in this moment at the beginning of this tempest, is this a good thing? The mariners would reply and say no. Look here in verse number 5 again. It says, "Then the mariners were afraid, cried unto every man unto his own God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them of them. But Jonah was gone asleep into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Verse number 6, "So the shipmaster comes to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." Now look over in verse number 16. Look at their later perspective. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." That means they made some promises to God. Here there's a totally different perspective now on the backside of this significant event in the life of the mariners. And if you were to ask them on the onset, was this a good thing? They'd probably say no. If you ask them later on, they would probably say, "Praise the Lord. It's a good thing that this came into my life." And so we see here that these men had really a complete 180-degree turn in their lives, that they feared the Lord exceedingly. They offered a sacrifice on the Lord and made vows. If we were to take the shipmaster aside and ask him about this tempest in the very beginning, is this a good thing? What would his answer be? Probably not so much. This is not a good thing. And so notice, secondly, not only were they afraid, but I want you to see this. Every man cried unto his own God. Every man cried unto his own God. Verse number 5, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God." In this text, we see rightly that they were not crying to Almighty God, for the Bible shows us that they cried every man to his God. It's a little g, a little g. You see, the Gentiles of this day, they worshiped all kinds of gods. And of course, we understand that they were no gods at all, but these men were broadly polytheistic. That means they worshiped a variety of gods. And in this very case, there oftentimes was one personal deity that they had made themselves, that they fell down and worshiped in times of trouble. At this time, individuals often carried their own personal God with them, one that they worshiped above all others. And can I say this in a way? This is an indictment to you and I as followers of the Lord. Think of it. These men prayed instantly, every man to his God. Instantly. You realize as a Christian that you and I are to be instant in prayer. You and I in the midst of difficulty are to be instant in prayer. And instead of finding Jonah the prophet praying, we see that these heathen mariners instead were instant in prayer. How often are we found in the same way? You've probably experienced before that someone who is a heathen, someone who does not know Christ as their Savior, they'll come up to you in the workplace and they'll say, "Hey, John," or "Hey, Susie, would you pray for me? I'm going through this circumstance in their life, and I don't go to church, but I know you do, and I know you pray often, and so I'm asking that you would pray on my behalf." And see, the heathen knows to bend the knee and cry out to God in the moment of difficulty, but what about the Christian? You know, the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we become so self-sufficient that we do not even think to pray in times of difficulty until we've tried everything ourselves to fix the trouble. We go through the course of everything that we can do, and when all of it amounts up to nothing, then we say, "Oh, God, would you please move in this situation?" We see here that Jonah's asleep in the ship, and yet here the heathen are bending the knee. Here the heathen are quickly instant in prayer. Unfortunately, these men prayed to themselves, like what we find in Luke 18:11. Or even worse, they prayed unto devils, like what we find in Deuteronomy 32:16-17 and Revelation 9 and verse number 20. They would be found as the prophets of Baal, crying out, cutting themselves, jumping around for no reason at all, like we find in 1 Kings 18:25. But you and I as a Christian, we're to be instant in prayer, aren't we? And this should have been what we saw in the prophet Jonah. We should have been seeing him praying at this very moment. And how often it is that we find ourselves in precarious situations and we act as the heathen did after they prayed. We put the cart before the horse. Notice what the heathen mariners did immediately after they prayed. The Bible says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his own God." And notice what they did. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. Isn't it true that we begin to do ourselves all we can to correct the situation without any respect to our wonderful Savior? We begin, if you allow me to say it this way, you and I begin as Christians who know the one true living God, we begin with casting the wares out of the boat, so to speak. We're trying to lighten the ship. We're trying to solve the problem without going to the Lord in this matter of prayer. You know, you and I ought to exercise faith in the Lord when we pray. Faithful prayer, we haven't got to that yet, but we ought to be men and women that are full of faith in our prayers. I'm not saying that you can't do things that you know to be right. That's not what I'm saying. But friends, if you are trying to correct a situation without God involved, there is a problem. We see here that they're casting out all the wares of the ship, and I think many times that you and I do all we can first, and then afterwards, when all of that fails, then we come to the Lord for help. We fail to be instant in prayer. Now, these mariners, they had the right method, but they certainly did not have the right God, did they? Though these mariners may have bent the knee, they certainly were either praying to devils or to no God at all. The question as we close is really the one that I poised at the very beginning, and that is simply this: what do you do in the midst of the storm? How do you react in the midst of the storm? Friend, are you found to be instant in prayer? Is God the first place you go in the midst of difficulty? We'll look at another reaction next week, but I want you to consider this. Jonah is found reacting a different way. He's down inside the ship, fast asleep. This is the reaction that Christians often take in the midst of chastisement or in the midst of difficulty. We do like this. We try and ignore the problem. There's no problem. There's no difficulty. I'm just going to ignore this and hope it goes away. And friends, that's not the kind of reaction that God desires from us. It's a reaction for us to turn to Him and to draw back close to Him and to be right with Him. That's the reaction that's supposed to occur in the chastening hand of the Lord. But Jonah does like this. I'm just going to pretend this isn't happening. I'm going to sleep my way through this thing. We find this wrong reaction in the life of Jonah. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. The simple call tonight is, how do you react in the midst of the storm? How do you react in the midst of the tempest? Are you instant in prayer? Are you looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Perhaps it is. There's someone here this night that's going through a great trial of affliction. You know, I have no idea what's going on exactly in your lives unless you tell me. But perhaps there's something difficult that you're dealing with. Maybe it's an emotional burden. Maybe it's a combination. It's emotional, but yet it's also spiritual. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you need to get right. And God wants you in the midst of that storm to come to Him, to be corrected, chastened by Him. Maybe you're dealing with someone else and it's heavy on your heart, someone who's walked away from the Lord, and they're in the storm. And matter of fact, they're like Jonah. They've got their eyes closed. They're just hoping that it will just go away. It'll just go away if I just ignore the problem. Maybe you can pray for that individual this night in our time of invitation, knowing that God wants what's the very best for that person. God's design for that person is to turn to the Lord Jesus, and we can pray for them. We can see God's face and His continued providential work in their lives. I don't know what the situation is, but friend, can I tell you, if you're in the midst of the storm, the best place you can be is in the boat with Jesus. The best place you can be. We saw in the Mark passage that Jesus got up and He says, "Peace, be still." You know who's the one who can calm the storm? Jesus the Christ. And so my challenge to you to this night is to come before Him. Maybe as we begin to pray here in just a moment, maybe perhaps you've been through a storm and you failed to go to the Lord Jesus. This is your opportunity. Come to Him. Come to Him. Seek His face. Seek His face while He may be found. Seek His face. Draw close to Him. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a challenging passage here as we look at these mariners, these heathen who knew exactly the right thing to do, which was bend the knee in the moment of difficulty. And we see the exact opposite out of Thy servant at this moment because he's running in disobedience. Father, what a polarized account here that You've given to us. But Lord, how transparent that is and how it deals with me in the midst of situations so often that I have been negligent to go to You first. But Lord, I pray, Father, if there's one here that's dealing with just such a heavy weight or burden this night, oh, Father, they come to You. They cry out to You. Lord, in the midst of the storm, just like the apostles did as they rose Jesus up and said, "Lord, don't You care that we perish?" Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, as the Lord turned around and used that as a teaching lesson in their lives, perhaps it is as we pray at this altar, the Lord's going to teach us something. And Father, I pray, Lord, that Your will is done. Your will is done in our lives. Father, we just desire to seek Thy face. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's in the storm of sin, they've never trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, I pray they get out and walk this aisle, say, "I need to be saved." Lord, I pray there'd be one here that's like that this night that would trust in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, would You work in our hearts as only You can. Lord, we ask these things in Your Son's name, amen. As we stand to our feet with our heads bowed.